chapter 9, verse 13. Mahatmanastumam bhartha dayavim prakutim ashutaha pujam jananya manaso vyatma bhutandim abhiyam. Who are not deluded, the great souls are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. In this verse, Lord Krishna is recommending the process of devotional service. If there are any Sanskrit scholars, they can also be sure that this is the correct translation. The word bhajanti means to render service. The word bhakti comes from bhaj. So, bhajanti means to render service. Ananya manasaha, without deviation of the mind. And it's not just a devotional service to anyone or to anything, but Krishna says here specifically, and he's speaking, he says, Mam, Mahatmanas to Mam, unto me. Rendering service unto Krishna. Ananya manasa, without deviating the mind to anything else. That's what Krishna is requesting. That's the topmost yoga system. As explained in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Yogi Nama Pisavisham, Bhagatena Paratmana, Shradhavam Bhajate Yomam Samayuktitamavata. Of all yogis, the highest of all is one who is engaged in devotional service, always thinking of me. Other forms of yoga are mixed. Those who are still attached to the bodily platform, they are advised to engage in the Ashtanga Yoga system, bodily gymnastics, in order to physically try to fix the mind on Krishna. And the Jnanis are those who are inclined towards philosophical speculation. They have a hard time contemplating the personality of Godhead at all. They can't relate to a person. They think that anyone who has personality must be material. So they prefer to meditate on the unmanifest. But that process is troublesome in the beginning, because how can you meditate on something without form? What will you meditate on if it's formless? So they try to meditate and become, think that they're God, that they're merged into the One. Krishna says this is a difficult process in the beginning, and it's difficult later on, because when you realize that this isn't the answer, then to give it up is also difficult, because one's become attached to whatever that is. The sound of one hand clapping or something like that. But the process of bhakti is personal. It's personal, but it also includes the impersonal. It doesn't exclude the impersonal aspect. Vedanti tattva vidas tattvam yaj jnanam advayam prameti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdate. The absolute truth is realized in three features. Brahman, that's the impersonal aspect of the energy, Paramatma, localized super soul, the heart of every living entity, and Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. By taking up the process of Bhakti Yoga, one achieves the perfection in all three realizations. Because one understands that the energy, everything is Brahman, the effulgence, the spiritual energy, the white light, it's all coming from the personality of Krishna. How do we know? Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmanohi Pratishtaram, Amritasya Vyasicha, that I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. Those who are attracted to the impersonal aspect, they're still lacking the understanding. Where the light comes from, where the source is. That source of all light is Krishna. He's the effulgent. The Brahmajyoti is his effulgence. And part of the Brahmajyoti is this material world. They're also part of the Brahmajyoti, but we're in a covered portion. So the goal of all yoga, the goal of all knowledge, or any knowledge, the goal of sacrifice, the goal of renunciation, the goal of austerities, the goal of works, whatever method one has taken up, the goal is Krishna. However, we're trying to find out now, just like a person, he's lost contact with his father. He doesn't know who his father is. So
he wants to
find his father, and how to do that. And he can go and ask every person, "Are you my father?" That's a very laborious task. It may not work. Then he could do blood tests on everyone to find out if they're his father. That may also not work. But the best process is to ask the mother. "Mother, where's my father?" She can say, "Yes, my boy, here's your father." So the Vedas, the scriptures, are compared to the mother, Veda Mata. And we can ask the Vedas, "Who is our father? Where is he?" And the Vedas all point to the point, to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ultimately, this is the goal. And the process to reach that goal is described here. Bhajantyananya manaso. Rendering service without deviation of the mind. Fixing the mind on Krishna. Krishna's form is transcendental. Satchidananda vigraha. Krishna's name. Nama chintamani Krishna chaitanya rasa vigraha. The name of Krishna is transcendental. His form, his remnants of foodstuffs, prasad, this is all transcendental. Just by eating this food, one becomes spiritually enriched. How can you get an easier yoga system than that? Just by honoring the Lord's prasad. And hearing about his glories in Bhagavad Gita means hearing his song. Bhagavad Gita means song of God. Krishna is singing the most famous song. Other songs, they come and they go. One generation may like one song, but it's not appreciated by another generation. But this song is the eternal song, sung by Lord Krishna, and it's appreciated. You see, still the sales are going on, increasing. Everyone's buying Bhagavad Gita in every different language. Because it's the most important book. This book, this song by Krishna, in a very nice and gentle way, he explains everything. Who we are, who he is, what is material nature, what is karma, what is time. Everything is explained very succinctly so that in a simple way we can understand. Because we don't have very much time. Of course, Krishna could go on speaking. It could be very long. But our time is short. In this particular life in Kali Yuga, we have to get to the essence quickly. It's like people are looking for instant things. Instant this, instant that. We want instant self-realization also, and it's available. Almost instant. It can be instant. If one surrenders in an instant, then he can get it. But generally, it's a process. Beginning with hearing Bhagavad Gita. The more we hear Bhagavad Gita, the more our consciousness becomes purified, our intelligence becomes purified as we think about it. And then as our consciousness, our intelligence becomes purified, then the gross parts of the body will also become purified. It begins with the subtle. First we have to purify the subtle. Because just like, let's say we want to do something good for the environment. Well, we can go and pick up some of the trash that's thrown around, and that's very nice. But if the people's consciousness is still full of trash, then they'll again put trash everywhere. They'll pollute everything again. So the best thing is to purify the consciousness. With purified consciousness, then the people won't want to inclined to keep things pure and uncontaminated. Therefore, most important is to purify the consciousness, the subtle aspect. What is that consciousness? It begins with thinking what I am. We're conscious means I. One philosopher said, I think, therefore I am. Because I can perceive something, the first perception is myself, anamaya. In the anamaya stage of consciousness, one wants food. He gives food for himself, not for others. Anamaya, pranamaya, he becomes aware of his life symptoms. Anamaya, pranamaya, manamaya. But the ultimate stage of consciousness is the blissful spiritual stage. Actually, on the spiritual platform, the soul doesn't require any food even. It doesn't require any water or any air. Because there's no death. Ajamanityam shashvatoyam paramanahanyate hanumani sharira. There's no death for the soul. But there's no death in What do you have to worry about if there's not enough food? You can't starve. The soul is not a material product. The soul is eternal. And after giving up this particular body, which we all have to give up this body at a certain point, then the soul lives on. And according to the consciousness that has been developed, one gets the next body. The consciousness forms the next type of body that we get. If we have developed the consciousness of pigeons, then next life we get the body of a pigeon. If we've developed the consciousness of demigods, saintly persons, or angels, then we get that type of body. And if we've developed the consciousness of pure, unalloyed servant of Krishna, then we get a spiritual body. And that is the highest achievement. Everyone should be thinking,
always,
all the time, how can I develop this mood of bhajante, bhajante ananya manaso, gyata bhutante bhavyo. Knowing that Krishna is the original, inexhaustible, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who else is worthy of loving? We were discussing this yesterday. He is the most lovable object. He is worthy in every respect. And he is also like the root of a tree. If you have some water and you give it to the root, then all parts of the tree are nourished. But if you give it to the branches, or to the leaves, or to the flowers, then nobody's benefited. Therefore, if you want to do the best service for humanity, or even beyond humanity, all living entities, then it's best to serve Krishna. Because he is the root of all living entities. He's the source. He's the maintainer. He's the seed. Bijoham Sarvabhutana. He's the soul. He's the Atmatman. He's the soul of all souls. He's the whole. By serving the whole, automatically all the individual parts are served. You don't have to serve each one individually. Mahatma. The word Mahatma means great soul. A great soul is described here. It's not a politician. Mahatma is one who is a pure devotee of Krishna. That's Mahatma. And they're rare. It's rare. In another place, Krishna says, Manushanam sarasveshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschid mam veti tatvata. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for protection. Out of thousands who have achieved some type of protection, hardly one knows me in truth. So it's one out of millions. Why? Why is it so small number? Because most people are not interested in spiritual perfection. They're interested in temporary enjoyments. Just to get something for the immediate pleasure of the senses. Just like an animal. An animal, if you try to have a discussion like this, amongst the ducks, if you go out and say, alright ducks, you're all, just sit there now, don't move around, just listen carefully. They'll start quacking and they'll move away. They're not interested at all, even if you could speak in duck language. This is not the type of thing they like to discuss. They have their own topics, of where's something to eat, is there some danger coming? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This is the topic of the ducks. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Not only the ducks, but the dogs. And the problem is that most of the humans are in the same category. They have degraded to the point of animal consciousness. But that is a waste. It's a complete waste of the human form of life. It's like if someone gives you a wonderful computer top of the line and you use it for hammering nails. Smash. What a waste. And someone says, why are you doing that? I say, well, it's hammering the nail and you see it's making it go in. Yes, but you could have used something else and the computer has more value than that. So human form of life is meant for self-realization. That's our unfinished business that the soul is meant to do. We've already been through transmigration, through the different bodies, through the animal species, through the plant species, through the fish species, the insect. We've already gone through all that. Now why again, after achieving this human form with higher consciousness, again, the same thing, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? This is a great travesty, great misuse. Mangusham Dulabham Janma, very rarely achieved. Now you have this human form of life. So, what to do? Become self-realized. Get free from the cycle of birth and death. Get free from all miseries of material existence. But that means you have to depart from the ordinary course of events. If you want to keep the same association and the same activities, then cannot get self-realization. There has to be some change. A change of heart is required. That change of heart comes when one associates with devotees, with mahatmas. We have to find out the society of mahatmas and associate with them. Then our hearts will change for the better, become purified. Then we can become a lover of all living entities. Suridam sarvadeena. A mahatma, he's so kind to all living entities. He has no enmity towards anyone. He doesn't see anyone as his enemy. He sees all living entities as parts and parcels of Krishna. They're all brothers. Because we all have the same father, we're all brothers spiritually. This is the real brotherhood, spiritual brotherhood. It can't just be based on bodies. I'm making alliances with this group of this body. Some ethnic group or some national group or some cultural group or some religious group. No, that's limited. What about all the other living entities? Don't you have any appreciation for them? They're also of the same spiritual nature. Real brotherhood means on the spiritual platform. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmane govihastini shuni chaiva swapaki cha pandita samadarshana. Samadarshana means equal vision. He sees all living entities as spiritual parts and parcels of Krishna. And he has respect for all. If we want peace in the world, then we have to cultivate this mood of equal vision, spiritual vision. As long as we're thinking materially, then there will always be fighting. There will always be miseries. Human form of life is for solving the problems of life once and for all. If one achieves that perfection in this lifetime, then everything is auspicious. In order to do that, one needs the help of a guru, spiritual master, one needs guidance. It is not such an easy thing that one can simply do it on his own. It requires training and guidance. Just as even to learn an ordinary thing, one needs training and guidance, practice. So similarly, spiritual life is like that. Krishna is prepared to give us everything. He's given us his good advice in Bhagavad Gita, and he's advising us to take one of his representatives. He has his representatives. It's like the Krishna Consciousness Movement was started by, founded by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He's a representative of Krishna. And he traveled all over the world to give the opportunity to anyone who would hear how to perfect their lives, how to get free from this cycle of birth and death. So I thank you for your kind attention. And at this time, if there's any questions, we can try to answer.
What is the state of the soul who has forgotten Krishna?
He's still connected with Krishna, but he's in denial, you could say. Just like a lost son. He left his father's protection and now he's in trouble. It happens sometimes. He goes off with intentions to be free. He feels restricted. And he wants to enjoy himself, but then he gets himself in big trouble. So in that troublesome, in that state, he's thinking, oh, if I could just get back. The nice thing about Krishna is that he's in everyone's heart. Suryam sarva bhutana radesha chunatishtati. So he hears, if the living entity, the lost soul, calls out for Krishna, please save me. And Krishna says, Krishna hears him. And very quickly he'll deliver him from the ocean of suffering.
What foolish things did we do to come here? Why are we here?
Yes, the first foolish thing we did was we thought that we could be the center rather than Krishna. And we thought that rather than serving, it would be nicer to be served. Just like a servant. The servant is, he's being given nice maintenance by the master and respect, and he has his own residence. He's comfortable, but if he's got some envy, then he's always thinking, why this master has to be above me? And he's thinking, let me poison him. So that's not good. That's envy. In other words, first of all, Krishna cannot be defeated, and we cannot be the masters. We're constitutionally meant to be servants. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasava Britya. There's one master, one Ishvara, controller, and all the others are Britya. They're all servants. And we're in the other category. So by nature, we're servants. We have to accept that. It's like if you join a drama troupe, say a professional drama troupe, and there's a director. So the director's in charge. Now if you go in to the troupe thinking, I'm going to take charge of this drama, then you're going to have problems. Because the director will say, all right, now I want you to do it like this. And if you don't agree, and you make dissension, then eventually you'll have to be, I'm sorry, the director will say, you're creating problems. Everything was going nicely until you came. and you're not cooperating, so you'll have to go somewhere else. You can try to start your own drama troupe if you like. So the living entities are given the chant, go to the material world and start your own drama troupe. No, Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita that if you come back this time, you'll never return again. That's his promise. In other words, we really have to learn the lesson well this time before we get back.
Based on this life karma, we get the next life, Bhavi much to the God. But what is the karma that we did in the past life to get the human life?
Some living entities are transmigrating upwards if they're in the lower species, like animals. When they reach the human form, then they can go up, down, or stay the same.
But the problem is that, suppose I was a dog in my previous life, I was doing the same thing as the other dogs are doing. So what is the difference that makes us...
Yes, the dog is not responsible for his activities. He's not... There's no use blaming a dog, as you say, for acting like a dog, because that's his duty, in a sense. But if you have a human being who acts like a dog, that there's blame. So in the human form, one should not act like a dog. He should act like a human, and a human means he's supposed to be a devotee of Krishna, Tathya Brahmajigyasa. So the dog is not responsible. He automatically goes up. But if a human behaves in a foolish way, then he has to go down and take lower birth. And it may be not just one, it may be thousands. Let's say he has to go down and become a rat. And then after a rat, then he becomes a rabbit, and after a rabbit, he becomes a pig, and after a pig, like you say, a dog. And he moves up. Then he gets human form again. Now, he has another chance to learn his lesson. But if he's stubborn, and if he's, again, proud, I don't want to hear from anyone, I don't care about Krishna, then all right, again, go down. But if he hears from the guru, from the spiritual master, then he doesn't have to take birth again in this material world. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvataha chakvadeham punarjanma naiti maviti sarjan. One who hears about Krishna, he doesn't have to take birth again in this material world. He goes back to the spiritual world. Yes, Madhu.
Whether the animals have karma, and is there some description in
the...
Whether
they have... Karma. They have karma. They are suffering or enjoying also from their past karma, but they're not making new karma. They're just burning off the old karma. If you give them prasadam, that's a special boost for them. Because then, by getting that prasadam, the next life will be human. They jump all the way above. So you can go out and give prasadam to as many creatures as you can. And you'll be doing a nice service.
If the animals don't create any new karma, how they can have past karma?
They have past karma because they have body. When we get a body, that's a product of our karma. That's the fruit of what I did before. So they have past karma, and now they're fulfilling their desires and their engagement. Just like a man who's put in prison. Well, he's put in prison now. He's supposed to only be going up. He can't go down. Although sometimes it's not supposed to happen. That he's in prison, he's not supposed to break the law anymore. He's so restricted that it's hard for him to break the law when he's in the prison. So the idea is he's working off his misdeeds, and now he's like they tell him, alright, you have 6 more months to go. In 6 months you get out. So unless he does something like he commits suicide, then he won't get out. Suicide is also against the law. That's another crime.
You mentioned this realizing God is free form. Do you see any correlation with this process of Trinity and free suffering?
Well, Brahman is the impersonal feature. Is that one of their aspects of the Trinity? The all-pervading energy? So that's one. And then Paramatma, Super Soul. The Holy Ghost in the heart. Yes. And yeah, Super Soul. The Lord is left there. And then the Father, that's Krishna. So he's the Supreme Father. Any other questions?
Maharaj, we say that different religions are just different bodily concepts of life. But then we say that Krishna is absolute truth. Now, some people would argue that we are also having religion.
What do you mean by religion?
I suppose it means some kind of belief.
Kind of belief. Yes, in our Vedic culture, the idea is we use the term dharma. Dharma means the intrinsic nature of the living entity. Is to follow that nature. It's like the nature of sugar is sweet, the nature of fire is heat and light. So the nature of a spirit soul is that he is meant to be engaged in service, divine service. Just like this verse says, he takes shelter of the divine nature and bhojanti ananya manaso, he engages in devotional service to Krishna. That's real religion. So any religion that follows that principle, that's real religion. Even if it may have a different name. If the essence is there, then that's acceptable. And one can make spiritual advancement. So religion is one. But beliefs are different. Simply, if someone says that this is my religion, I believe this. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. It has to be authorized by God. You can't have just make up your own religion. It's not so easy. You just go down to the city hall and you say, okay, I'm founding a new religion. It's not so easy like that. They may agree because they don't know what religion is, but Krishna doesn't agree.
Actually, what we learned in Hinduism, actually, we have been told that
if you do good karma, then you can influence your, actually, in the sense that, I mean, you don't do in order to influence, but if you are just carrying out your normal activities of supporting others, helping others, then you are making already an advancement towards actually spiritual life. I mean, what I am asking you is that true? I mean, if you are, if you actually build on a type of actually behavior that, that you advance to people, I mean, supporting and helping, and then
yes, but how do you help them?
I mean, you have.
How can you help someone if you yourself, let's say, you see a room full of people and their hands are all tied,
yeah,
and you want to help them by untying their hands? But if your hands are tied, what can you do? But you have to become liberated first. You have to first, if you're a physician, heal thyself. First you become healed, you become free, then you can help the others. Therefore Krishna is saying that we have to follow in the footsteps of the Mahatmas to become free from this entanglement. Free from ignorance, free from illusion, free from lust, free from greed, free from anger, free from lethargy. All these are ropes tying us up. How can you help anyone if you're all entangled by lust and greed and anger and fear and illusion and madness? You're in no shape to help anyone. First take care of yourself.
Unbiased help. I know it's a bit difficult to explain what is unbiased actually. I mean, I'm saying the same thing, like if you're helping, not with knowing I'm helping you with this cause, in actually.
You may think you're helping, but you're not helping. It's like if someone is writhing in pain on the street, he's screaming, and you think, oh good, I have a knife, I'll do a surgery. But if you don't know how to do the surgery, then your intentions may be good, but the court won't appreciate it. Well, why did you do that? Why? He was writhing in pain. I wanted to help him. I had a knife. No, that's not. You have to have knowledge also. Help depends on knowledge as well. So don't try to become a surgeon prematurely. Your business now should be to get yourself cured. Before you're worrying about saving the others, take care of yourself, then your wife, then your children. Huh? Then you can go out from there. That's your first responsibility. But the great souls, those who are already liberated, oh, they can, wherever they go, they can help everyone. They can free everyone just by their association. If you become a Mahatma, then you can do that. Like Narada Muni, you can go everywhere and give transcendental knowledge and freedom.
So what's the exact definition of a karma then?
Karma means action. And karma means reaction. Because for every action, there's a reaction on the material platform. But there's another type of action, it's called akarma. And it means action for Krishna, but no reaction materially. One serves Krishna, but he doesn't get any material karma back. He just gets transcendental bliss.
His Holiness Nanavir Goswami Maharaj ki jai.